Well, this morning I want to start by asking us a question to think about just for a moment. When you feel the weight of the world on your shoulders, the stresses that kind of eat us up, those things that just weigh us down, where do you turn? Where is it that you go? What is your stress reliever? Maybe for some of our younger folks, even younger adults, maybe you run to video games to try to detox from the world, or maybe if you like cars and driving them fast, you just hop in it and turn on the music real loud and take off. Maybe there's a phone call you make, a certain person that you would check in with. But where do you go when life just seems to weigh you down? Think about that just for a minute. Where's the first place that you turn? You know, you've heard the old saying, and hopefully we don't say it in this congregation much, but maybe we do, depending on what we run to. Boy, I sure need a drink. You ever heard somebody say that? Or somebody who maybe has quit smoking would say, yeah, hopefully you're not saying that, Abby. Or, boy, I could sure use a cigarette if you've tried to quit smoking. We tend to run to things sometimes that aren't all that helpful to us to try to relieve our stress. And we hear the voice of Jesus in our passage, and if you're not there, you can go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 11. And he says, come to me. Come to me with all of that. And if we're going to be honest, if I'm honest with myself, a lot of times when I am feeling the burden of this world, the first thought in my mind isn't to come to Jesus. It's to relieve the stress in whatever way brings me comfort the quickest. The problem with that is that it tends to be short-lived. And why I thought we would spend a little time this morning thinking a little deeper about the call of Jesus to come to me, as he would say. Come to Jesus. Good Chris Rice song to listen to think about. So as we look at it, we're going to read this passage in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. But before we read it, just to help you kind of think how Jesus is thinking in this. I mean, if you look at the context of the passage, and we're not, I'll just tell you, but you can look up in your Bible, if your Bible has subheadings, just a little before this, in this same chapter, he's condemning the cities who don't believe in him. Woe to you who don't believe. Well, all you cities who didn't believe, it's going to be better for Sodom and Gomorrah than it was for you. He is just unloading on them. And then and just seems to be really frustrated that people aren't getting it. And aren't getting him, more importantly. And then he just turns a corner and he says this beautiful invitation to all who'll come. Listen to it as I read. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Would you pray with me? Father, we're so thankful for your word. Jesus, we recognize in your gentle call to us that you know where we are and you know how we are. And you call us. You call us to come to you. And Lord, as we take just a few moments to unpack this familiar passage to most of us, that you would help us to think about this question. Do I come to you, or am I running somewhere else to fix my problems, to solve my stress? And Lord, more importantly, for anyone in this room who's never entered into a relationship with you, Lord, that they could hear your gentle whisper, the nudging of your spirit, the longing of your heart, to draw them close to you in a relationship. Now, Father, we pray you would be glorified in your word this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, we turn our attention, first of all, to the reason we come to Jesus. Why do we come to Jesus? Well, you see it right there in verse 28. He says, come to me. He doesn't say, come to the Father. Come to my teachings. Come to a place where you center yourself. He says, come to me. To me. He was saying, you know, I have what you need. You need to come to me, not just the stuff about me. not just the things that I say, although they're true. You need me to help those things make sense. Colossians 1:17 has a verse in it that just stays with me, sometimes haunts me. Paul says about Jesus, he was before all things. He was God. He was part of making creation. In fact, it was through him that it was made. And he says this, in him all things hold together. The late Rich Mullins wrote a song that says, if you let go of us, we'd all fall apart. Our existence, according to the scriptures, is because Jesus holds us together. Jesus, that's who Paul was talking about. He is the one that holds us together. Why would we come to Jesus? Look at his own description of himself. Just look up in verse 25. Let me read the beginning part of this passage that we jumped into, the familiar part. Look back at verse 25. Remember, he has just kind of laid it out there. Why won't you believe? All you cities that won't believe, don't you know you're in peril? And he is just kind of at his wit's end. And then he stops. And it says, at that time, when he was doing all that frustrated prophesying of people who wouldn't get it, at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned. He's just talking about these people who saw all these miracles and they still wouldn't believe. You've hidden these things and you've revealed them to little children. We'll come back to that in just a second. Yes, Father, it was for your good pleasure. And then he says this. He says this about himself. Verse 27. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those whom the Son chooses to reveal himself. We come to Jesus for this one reason. He's Jesus. He is it. He is the holder of all of life. If you want to find the answers to life, they're in Jesus. If you want to go to the wisest person on the planet that ever lived, it's Jesus. He is the wisdom of God. We go to Jesus because he is it. He is the only reason we need. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful way of saying, come to me. I'll give you rest. But then he just goes on in this little part before he gets to that, when he says, we've chosen to reveal this to who? To children, to little children. Who is he talking about? He wasn't talking about just children. He does tell us to come to him with childlike faith, but it was a description of those that we could almost say are the have-nots. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul gives a description to me of these little children. Let me read this for us. Verse 26 of 1 Corinthians of chapter 1. Brothers, think of what you were before you were called, before you heard him say, come to me. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and he chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. We come to Jesus because he is Jesus and we are not. Because we desperately need him. He is God, we're not. He is life, we're shackled in the death grip of sin. He's wise, our wisdom just nowhere comes up to. We think we've got it figured out. We think we can understand what God's doing. He sees things totally differently. We're weak and he is strong. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And we need to come to our end. We need to keep trying to figure this out on our own, which brings us to the second reason. It's because we're at our end, because we are weary and burdened. Jesus saw it. He sees it most of the time, for we do. Because until we come to the end of ourselves, we're never going to come to Jesus. We're going to think we're okay. We can figure it out. We can even figure out this Christian thing by just using our own strength to kind of do it. That's what these people to whom he spoke were struggling with. They were weary, weary from the load that the Pharisees had put on them to try to live up to a certain religious standard that nobody could. What wearies you? The high expectations that someone may have on you? Maybe the voice of a parental figure even in your mind that just never quite gave you the praise that you would want it, and it just can wear you out. Just trying to be a good Christian can be wearisome, just makes you exhausted. Let me read what the Holman New Testament commentary said about this weariness and burden that we have. Jesus is saying, come to me, take on yourself the light burden of obedience under the covenant that I will seal with my own blood. And I will give you the covenant reward of deep down peaceful rest. Fellowship from freedom from guilt and power of sin and self-striving. If you continue to carry the heavy burden of a works-oriented, self-serving Pharisaism, you will never find rest. You were designed by God to carry my load, not man's load. That's a beautiful way of saying that. Jesus says, come to me. I know you're worn out. I know your burden, the tense that Jesus uses, the linguistic tense is the perfect tense. And the idea there is Jesus is saying, I understand that there was a load put on you at some point, and that load has just stayed with you like a perpetual pain that just follows you. It's with you minute by minute. It's that constant reminder in the back of your head that you're just not good enough, that you're not smart enough, or you just can't quite get it right. We've all been there and felt that, haven't we? Hear what Jesus says. Come, offload that on me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Leave it on me. Think about it. What is burdening you? Maybe it's family stress or lack of a job or a job that you don't like anymore. Maybe it's lack of not enough things that you need just to make ends meet. Maybe it's guilt from a past failure. You know it weighs you down because as soon as I said it, you thought about it. And Jesus says, lay that down. Lay it down because I have something else for you to pick up. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. But how do we do that? This is the part of coming to Jesus. We get the, I'm exhausted and I need Jesus, and we cry out to Jesus, save me, fix me. What is the way? What is the reason? How do we go about doing it? Let's look at the next point. The way we come to Jesus. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. This is the way. He gives this description. It's not just saying a prayer, although we cry out to God in prayer all the time because he tells us to. It's not just in following religious steps, although he did say for us to be baptized out of obedience to him and to join together with other believers and to follow his ways. But it's more than that. It is a relationship that requires faith. And Jesus says, you have to trust me enough to lay down your burden that you're trying to figure it all out and pick up the burden I intend for you to carry, my yoke. What is Jesus's yoke? Well, it begins with the idea of submission, that I would be willing to say, I'm willing to let you be Lord of my life. You have authority over me. If you say it, I'm going to do it. If you say not to do it, I'm not going to do it. That was the understanding of the Hebrew who heard this for the first time. Because when they heard the term yoke, if they weren't thinking of a farming tool, they were thinking of the yoke of the law. They were thinking of the authority of the law. And they would have even thought of what Jeremiah would have said, done in his prophecies. At one point, he puts on a yoke as an example to the people. You're about to be under the burden of Babylon. Their authority is going to rock your world. and you're going to be forced into that yoke. But Jesus doesn't force us into his. He says, you take it on yourself. You lay down your burden and your weariness and take my yoke. Put it on, because I'm not a taskmaster. But if you will submit to me, I can help you live. But if you keep fighting me, it's never going to work. Which brings us to me and the best vision of what our image that Jesus portrays with this idea of a yoke. Partnership. You see the picture of a yoke up there. It has two spots. Typically, that's how they were designed, for tandem animals to drag along a plow or do the work or drag whatever they were dragging to do the work of a farmer. There was a sense of partnership. Jesus said, this is my yoke. I'm in it. Come on. Why don't you get in it with me? Let me help you with life. We are in partnership with Jesus. Isn't that a great thought? I'm not alone in this world. I don't have to figure it out. And what is it we're in partnership with? Jesus said in John 20, 21, that what I was sent to do, I send you to do. And what did he come to do? But to tell everyone the good news that there is salvation in the Son of God who will cover your sins with his blood. There's freedom in him. Come join me in telling people about that and living that out and that being your reality. So much that when he gave the Great Commission, you remember how he said it. Go into all the world, make disciples, all teach them everything that I've commanded. And then what did he say? I am with you always. We're yoked up. I'm not leaving you. I'm not abandoning you. I'm with you. If we come to Jesus, we have submitted to him in every way we know how, and we have chosen to partner with him. We don't just come to church, pray to him, and sing to him, and then say, see you next Sunday, Jesus. Not how it works. We live with him moment by moment, day by day. And when we feel the burden of life, we need to recognize the one that is closest to us is Jesus. And our first thought, although we may have other outlets to help us relieve our stress, needs to be to cry out to God again and again and again, because those burdens don't quite go away. But this partnership is kind of a learning partnership. There's an illustration of how the ancient farmer would do it, and maybe, I don't know, I'm not a farmer, but you may do that. I don't even think we yoke animals. You wouldn't yoke two tractors together, would you? But when they yoked animals together, they wouldn't just take two young, strong bulls and put them in the yoke together and take off to do their work, because those young bulls would fight the farmer the whole time. Instead, you would have an old, reliable animal and a young, strong animal. And that young, strong animal would just fight and kick until he figured out what the old, liable one was doing, and then they could plow the field. You and I, you see it in the passage. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn my way, because as God has called me, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. This is a partnership. You have come to me not just to feel better, but to be better, and you can only be better with me. But to me, this partnership really looks more or less like two oxes in a yoke and more like an apprenticeship, which comes to the third analogy for me. Jesus told us to learn from him because he's meek and he's humble of heart. When I think of a learner, I don't know if you've thought about this, but I'm surely most of us have. But the most descriptor word that's used, the word that's used the most as a descriptor of Christians in the book of Acts in particular, is not Christian, although it's the first place they were called Christian. It's not followers of the way, it's disciple. And then we're not talking about just the 12. We are Jesus' disciples. And I don't know if you know, but and probably most of you do, the idea of being a disciple is to be an apprentice. An apprentice is someone who would put themselves under the authority of a master, whatever craft he had, to learn how he did his thing, to learn to live with him and live like him. That's an apprentice. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Be an apprentice. And what is apprentice? What do we learn? How are we learning to be like Jesus? Well, he says it again in the passage when he says, I'm humble and I'm gentle. Just think for a second about the Beatitudes. He championed these thoughts when he would say, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are humble enough to recognize they can't do it on their own. And he always prays people would come humbly to him. Those who mourn over their sin. He cried over the city, wishing that they would just come to him like a mother bringing in her chicks. That we'd be meek. And if anybody modeled power under control, it was Jesus. And we need to learn to be meek and not just push for what we want. That we would hunger and thirst for righteousness, not for just the latest thing that our gut wants. That we would choose mercy and be merciful and find blessing in that. And think how Jesus was so merciful. He would look at a crowd of people and see them as sheep without a shepherd, and he would do all he could to provide for them, knowing that most of them would never understand what he was trying to say. He was merciful. He calls us to be pure in heart like he was, unmixed from the world, holy. To be peacemakers, not rebel rousers, that we would do all we can to bring peace to the situation that we're in, that we would learn that there's blessing in persecution. We could say like Paul, that I'm persecuted, but I'm not abandoned. I'm struck down, but I'm not destroyed. So Jesus says, come to me, all you who are worn out from the burden, lay it down and pick up a burden that you can bear. That will become less and less like a burden and more like a partnership. You won't feel alone anymore because you're with me. That's the way we come to Jesus. We don't just say a prayer to go to heaven. We call out to God to invade our life and to take us over so that he can begin the process the rest of our life of making us like him. And then there's the best part, the result of why we come to Jesus. Here's what the result is. It's rest. He says it in both verse 28 and 29. Come to me, all you who are weary, and I'll give you rest. And then he says, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, and you will find what? Rest for your soul. So he's obviously not just talking about physical rest, that we can finally get the nap that we've been longing for. He's talking about something much deeper. A deep residual peace that when all chaos is breaking loose in our life and we don't know what to do because we know we've come to Jesus, everything's okay. There's rest. And the idea of rest has a Hebrew understanding. When they heard that word rest, they would have gone, first of all, to day 7 of creation where God rested. They understood this concept of entering into rest. It didn't mean that the work was over. It meant that something was completed. One commentator said this, it's not the cessation of toil, but peace and fulfillment and a sense of being put right, that everything has come together. God had plenty of things to do after he rested on the seventh day, but he calls us into that rest. In the book of Hebrews, he says, now those who believe, they have entered into this rest. And this rest is provided because the work is finished. We can breathe because we know this. I can't save myself, but God has. That as rough as it may get and as many mistakes as I may make on the day to come, he's not going to abandon me because he has saved me. He hasn't saved me by anything I did. He saved me because of his grace and the fact that I received it. And I have come to him and laid down my life and picked up his and submitted to him. And because of that, the work is done. And because of that, all of the weariness of this life changes. And he gives us, in verse 30, this great picture of rest. With two what you could call oxymorons, and hopefully that's the right English term, two words that go together that don't really match. Look what it says in verse 30. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus says, "This, you want to know what rest looks like? It's a yoke that's easy." Now, that doesn't make any sense because a yoke is hard. You strap that thing on to go to work and to tug and to pull and to do the work. And a burden by nature is heavy. That's what makes it a burden. And Jesus says, "My yoke is easy." Literally, the word easy says this: to be suitable, to be good, to be reasonable. It's been written about this phrase that Jesus was saying, "My yoke, it fits. It's custom made for you. You get in this yoke with me, and it's not going to rub, and it's not going to pull. It's going to fit. And when we get to work together, it's just going to make sense. When I give you a command, you're going to go, yeah, I need to do that. It's reasonable. It makes sense. It fits like a glove. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And how in the world is a burden light unless somebody else is carrying it? Remember the image of a yoke, and you and I are together with Jesus. We are not in this alone. Have you ever carried a heavy thing like a piano or something with someone who's stronger than you? It's like you're just kind of there for moral support. As they're doing all the work and you're kind of going, well, I don't think I'm holding much of this. That's the picture here. A burden, it's light. Somehow, some way, when we come to Jesus, the struggles of this life become bearable. They don't go away. In fact, they may even get worse. But when we come to Jesus, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. We can find rest. Not just physical rest, but although occasionally Jesus, God may give us that grace, he gives us rest for our soul. There's that beautiful passage. Put it up on the screen one more time. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. I'll be the one that covers you, that takes care of you, that carries you through the times that you just don't think you're going to make it any farther." But if you're like me, you read this and you go, I'm not feeling that rest, Lord. I'm struggling. I'm stressed. I'm angry. I'm questioning you. I'm praying to you, and I'm not getting an answer. Are you even there? And Jesus would say this to you: lay down the burden of that and trust me. Just stay in the plow row that I've placed you with me. Let's just keep working on this. It'll make sense when the time is right. Trust me. And every time we pick up our burden again to try to figure it out, we remember the words of Jesus and we turn to him and we go, "I'm carrying it again. I'm doing it again. All right, back in. Here we go. I will trust you and I'll stay in here and work this out." That's the question that we have to answer tonight. Have you come to Jesus? Have you really come to Jesus? And if you have, are you experiencing the rest of your soul that he promises? If you're not, one of two things has taken place. One, you prayed a prayer and you never came to Jesus. You got baptized, but you never came to Jesus. Or you've come to Jesus and you've forgotten to let go. You're trying to carry your load and walk with his load. It's never going to work. You haven't really submitted and you're in the process. So what you need to do today is just, again, remind yourself, "I can't do this." And confess to Jesus, you can. And day in and day out, moment by moment, submit again to his will and his way. Realize that he is Jesus and you're not. That he is the authority and we need to submit to him. And we're not just a slave, we're a partner. We're an apprentice that's learning to be like the best person that ever walked on the planet, Jesus Christ. But maybe you're here and you need to ask Jesus to save you. You need to unload your burden on him. You can do it right where you're sitting with your eyes wide open, listening to me. All you need to do is say, "Jesus, I can't do this anymore. I believe you are God, that you saved me, that you saved the world. Save me. I will follow you. I come to you. Take away my burden. Let me follow you." You just, right this second, you can come to Jesus. He won't turn you away. But for a lot of us, we just need to rethink that and remember And every day we can say again, I've come to Jesus. I don't have to carry this anymore. What a great promise. Hear those words one more time as we close. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, thank you for your word. There's so much there, and there's so many times that you call us and even chastise us as a father would their children. And yet you do it in a loving way because you intend to make us in the image of your Son. You intend for us to be disciples, to be learners, lifetime learners, conforming our life into the image of Jesus. And Father, I pray that you'd help each one of us to remember and to reckon and to think about that phrase and say it over and over again this week. I have come to Jesus. This is not my burden to carry. And everything I do have to carry, he carries with me. And the work that needed to be done of salvation is done. Thank you, Jesus. You will not reject me. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And we pray this in the name of that mighty, mighty Savior, Jesus. Amen.